Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in it. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time or you've begun attending recently, we want to express our hope that you'll find a home here with us. Now, one way to do that, of course, is to get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find lots of opportunities to do that in your bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up a few. First of all, for those who may be interested in our music camp, if you would like to audition for a lead, if your child would like to audition for a lead in music camp, auditions will be held again today. They'll be following the retirement celebration in the choir room, about 2:30 or so, in the choir room by the elevator here on the second floor. No advance preparation is required. Just be ready to sing a familiar tune, like Happy Birthday, and read a short script. Even if you haven't signed up yet for music camp, you can still come and take part in those auditions. I want to announce that there is no combined adult Sunday school class today, nor will there be next week, and Sunday school classes are taking a break next week for the July 2nd weekend. Our Tuesday Bible study is taking a little break, and we'll resume August 1st with your new teacher, Carol Cavan Dillon. And I know you'll be excited. I hope lots of you will turn out for her first Tuesday to teach. Also, if you're sticking around after this service for the lunch and the retirement celebration, you're welcome to come hang out in McWhirter Hall. They'll begin serving lunch at 11:30. So if you are able to eat a little bit earlier, that'll allow the second service crowd to get in and cycle through. We are coming back up here to the sanctuary for the program, I understand, but you are certainly welcome to hang out in McWhirter Hall before you eat, after you eat, and after you eat, you probably may just want to come back up here and grab a seat. So did you ever wonder what the greatest thing in the world is? I have the answer. Stick around, I might just tell you.
Come ye that love the Lord, and let your love be known. Join in a song of sweet accord, and the song round the throne, and the song round the throne.
To worship God. We have come to open ourselves to the power of God's presence in our midst.
We have come to offer our seasons
seated. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let us bring to God in prayer our burden and sin, confident and trusting in the Spirit of grace. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us too heavy to carry anymore. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open us to a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are assured that there is no sin too deep that God cannot forgive, no hurt so terrible that God cannot heal. God accepts, God forgives, and God sets us free. Receive the forgiving and loving God. Let us join together for the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I only know in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been known, even as I have been fully known. And now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these, is love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
To the Father and to please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who'd care to join us, you're welcome to come on down. If you want to bring a parent or a grandparent or a friend, that's perfectly okay. I think I have told you about these things we wear around our necks. They're called stoles. And they are supposed to remind us of the yoke that Jesus talked about. A yoke is something that fit over the shoulders of an oxen or a cow or a horse or, in my case, a mule, and it would help you plow. And so, you know, when we put on Jesus' yoke, he says, you know, it's easy, it's light, it's not going to be that hard. And this is to remind us of that. But I want to tell you about this particular stole, because you see, on the night that I was ordained, my Uncle Paul, who was a pastor in this conference, stood up with me, and the bishop laid hands on my head, and the district superintendent laid hands on my head, and my Uncle Paul laid hands on my head. And when I stood up, my Uncle Paul put this around my neck. I had never seen this before. He said to me, "A gift from your congregation. A woman in the congregation I was serving made this for me for that particular occasion." She later went on to move to New York to design costumes for plays, but she was living in Columbia, Tennessee at the time where I was serving. And so whenever I wear this, I always remember her, and I remember that particular event that evening and my Uncle Paul. Now, the thing about us as Methodist preachers is that we move around. You know, I'm not still there in Columbia. I've served a number of churches ever since that time. And this is my last Sunday to preach here. We talked about that a few weeks ago. You know, it's just like in school. You have a teacher for a year, and then you kind of graduate to the next class, and you have a new teacher. And your teacher you had for that year still loves you and wants you to grow and learn more and is happy for you that you're going to get a new teacher. I'm happy for you that you're going to get a new senior pastor, Carol Cavan Dillon. Carol is a wonderful friend of mine and someone you're going to grow to love, I know. But there are lots of ways to say goodbye. You can say goodbye, right? You can say vaya con Dios, go with God. That's pretty nice too. But of course, there's no place we can go where God is not. So wherever we go, we're going to go with God, right? Or we can say, hasta la vista, see you later, right? So in a way, I'm saying hasta la vista, because you see, I will be back here next week to help Carol celebrate communion. That's all I'm going to do. She's going to be your senior pastor, and we're going to be here at the table together, and we're going to be celebrating communion just like Dr. Watson did with me on my very first Sunday here. We thought that was a really cool idea. So I'll be here for that, but then I'll be gone for a while. But I want you to remember something, because the way I want to say goodbye today is using my hands. You can probably do this. In the sign language, for those people who cannot hear, this is I love you. So when I do this, I don't have to say a word. I just say, I love you, right? You think you could do that? I, try it, I, and an L, love you, like a U. Right? I love you. And that's how I'm going to say goodbye and see you later. Because one of these days, it might be a long while, but one of these days after next Sunday and celebrating communion, I plan to come back and see how much you have grown in the meantime. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us these beautiful children, this beautiful congregation, your beautiful love that we've experienced fully in the person of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for coming down. On a day in 1836, at First Methodist Episcopal Church in Columbia, Tennessee, a young man named Mark Gray was ordained to ministry. He began a long life of serving, and his descendants have served in this conference ever since 1836. One or more of his descendants has been serving as an ordained pastor, serving churches in the Tennessee Conference ever since that time. Mark Gray was my great-great-grandfather, and my family has been serving for 181 years in this conference. I told this story at conference as part of my retirement speech and acknowledged the fact that the line ends here. I'm the last one in that great line of splendor, which leaves a lot of people in the Tennessee Conference really hopeful about its future. Even the bishop, shortly after all the retirements were approved, it wasn't a couple of minutes until the bishop said, "I think this is going to be a really good annual conference." I didn't take it personally. My uncle Paul, J. Paul, my father's brother, was a pastor in this conference. I mentioned that. He put this stole around my shoulders. His son John was a pastor in this conference. His daughter, Peggy, married Gary Spike, a pastor in this conference. My father's first cousin, John Mark, was a pastor in this conference. My great uncles, Bailey and Harp, were pastors in this conference. And so I want to tell you a little bit about my Uncle Harp first. Uncle Harp served in Columbia, Tennessee for 12 years in the same church, when according to the discipline, you could only serve a church for 4 years. He was a quirky kind of guy. I know that's hard to imagine knowing me. He would serve that church for 4 years, and then he'd go out and serve in Culioca for a year or two, and then he'd come back and serve for 4 more years. And then he'd go out to Santa Fe and serve for a year or two and come back for 4 more years. And in that fashion, he served the same church for 12 years. He retired there in Columbia and became the county clerk after a while. Now, that wasn't his only quirk. He sometimes got into trouble for hanging out with the wrong people. For example, he didn't just hang out with church people. He hung out with moonshiners and bootleggers. And his daughter told me a story about a bootlegger who lived not too far from where they did. He would go sit on the porch and visit with him. And he would tell the bootlegger, "Why don't you give up this business? It's illegal. You shouldn't be doing it." And the bootlegger would say, "Well, if you'd get your people to quit buying it from me, I'd have to give it up." He also played the Victrola and allowed the young people to dance in a time when that was scandalous. I learned this all from his daughter, who was living in Columbia when I first went there to serve, my cousin Mary Ellen. I also had some church members there who knew my Uncle Harp. By the time the oldest folks I met, they were very old by the time I met them. They had known him when they were very young. Even when they were very young, everyone knew him as Old Brother Williams. I'm kind of growing into that identity myself, you see. Old Brother Williams might just fit here. But Mr. Carl White, an older gentleman, told me about meeting my uncle on a street corner in Columbia. Carl was just a boy. My uncle was Old Brother Williams, and he asked him how he was doing. He said, "Brother Williams, how you doing?" And not being able to just say fine, like most people, my great uncle said, "Well, Carl, I tell you what, I'm standing here freezing to death in the same suit of clothes I burned up in last summer." I knew my Uncle Paul, of course. I never knew Uncle Harp. I only knew him through stories, but I knew my Uncle Paul. He was a great big man, preached for many, many years, had been, by his own admission, a moonshiner, a deputy sheriff, and then a preacher. It's good preparation, apparently. After his retirement, in his great old age, he developed diabetes and had several operations. I can remember visiting with him in the hospital one time, and as the visit was about to end, all of the other family members had left. It was just my Uncle Paul and me. And before I left, knowing that I had recently entered ministry, he said, "You know, if I had it to do over again all these years, you know what I would do?" I had no idea. He said, "I would preach more love." Well, now, he was not a hellfire and damnation preacher. He was funny. He preached love. But I think he caught on to the idea that there is no way you can preach too much love. Which brings us to our text. You remember last week we were talking about the spiritual gifts and the church at Corinth, and how in the church at Corinth some people thought their gifts were superior to everybody else's gift, and there was a rivalry going on there. And Paul had to explain to them, look, all of your gifts work together for good because they come from the same Spirit, the Spirit of God. None better than the other, but all working together. It's a new kind of culture. It's not like the culture out there where there is a gifted class and a not gifted class. Everybody's gifted, according to St. Paul. And then he moves into what we now call chapter 13 of that letter to the church at Corinth. My guess is you have rarely heard this read outside of wedding services. It's fairly frequent at wedding services. Recently, it was read at a memorial service that I took part in. But it is not intended to be spoken by one spouse to another. It's intended for all of us. This is not a description of a couple being married. This is a description of what it means to live as a follower of Jesus. He began that last chapter by saying, as it goes to spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed. And now he's extending that to say, I can have the greatest gifts in the world, but if I do not practice them with love, I'm like a person banging on a piece of metal. I'm a noise. I'm a racket. It's only when I love that that becomes music, that that becomes percussion, that that becomes something that God moves and works through. Once again, he's telling us, your gift is not what's important. Ultimately, that's only important if you practice that gift with love. And he goes through that whole list of what gifts are present and how without love they are completely empty. I've said for a long time now that I learned in seminary that love is not a feeling. It's not some kind of warm feeling towards someone. As my teacher, Taylor McConnell, once told me, and it obviously stuck, love is a policy. It's the way you choose to treat people, no matter how you feel toward them. Now, what is that policy? Paul outlines it right here. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Don't we need a little bit of that in our public discourse now? It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. He's getting a little personal there. Or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I need to clarify a little bit here. that bearing all things and enduring all things does not mean that if you're in an abusive situation, you need to stay there. That is not love. That is not what Paul is talking about. And too often in the church, we have advised people, especially women, in abusive situations to stay because if you really love, you endure whatever the other person puts out. Not true. That is not love. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. That's another part of it. But that's the policy. That's what we sign on for when we say, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. Is this the way the world sees us, you think? Patient, not arrogant, not rude, not irritable or resentful. Rejoicing in the truth, not rejoicing in wrongdoing. Maybe somebody needs to be preaching a little more love. What do you think? And then he says something that seems pretty radical to me. Love never ends. And then he goes through the list of all of these gifts of the Spirit that will end. Okay? Every gift will end because we will die. And that gift will no longer be functional in our lives. But love never ends. How can you have something that never ends? Well, for Paul, love is not a spiritual gift. It is the very thing that undergirds every spiritual gift. Love never ends because God never ends. And God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. This is that tough love that means you're patient even with people who are not patient with you. You choose not to be rude with people who are rude to you. You choose not to be resentful when people do things that you could very easily resent. It's a discipline. It is a spiritual discipline, and it is undergirded by the very presence of God. That's why we can say God loves everyone unconditionally. We wore our shirts yesterday at the Pride Parade. Some of you may have seen those pictures. Because you see, God's love is not conditional on who we are or how we act. God's love is only conditional on who God is and how God acts. Do we break God's heart? I'm sure frequently. By the way, we break this policy that we've signed on for. But God's love never ends. Everything else in this life will end. But God's love is our home in this world and the next. God's love did not have a beginning and does not have an end. If I have not, over the past 7.5 years, preached love, I apologize. If there have been occasions when I haven't, because that's what I intended to do, I just failed. If I have, then I'm glad I did. Because you see, I've tried in the best way I know how, sometimes challenging, sometimes comforting, to talk about God's love for all people, even those people that our culture says don't deserve it, for whatever reason. Even those people who out in the world will not find it, but we'll find it here. Because you see, I expect when I come to that stage where my Uncle Paul was, I hope after many more years, that I'll still be saying I wished I'd preached more love. Because you see, if every person in the world preached God's love every minute of the day, for their entire lives, we would still not even scratch the surface of the wideness of God's mercy and grace and love. It is that large, and we're invited to take part in that. My family has been preaching that for over 180 years, and I hope we've been living that, and I hope we have been showing that to you, and we'll continue to show it to others. Because you see, there is a wideness in God's mercy that is unlike anything we could ever imagine. There is a broad love that embraces every single person and every single aspect of creation. That's what I'm here to tell you about. My first Sunday, my last Sunday, and I hope every Sunday in between that I've stood up here. Love never ends. Paul summarized it beautifully. It's a summary of the gospel. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these, without question, is love. Thanks be to God. We declare our faith in that love in a lot of different ways, mostly by what we do, but sometimes we use words, and so I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and join me as we tell our story together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, I invite you to show signs of love and reconciliation to one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
Welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad that you're here, and we hope that you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary following the service. You can look for their blue name tags. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following our late worship service. They will gather in Reed Hall, probably a little bit after noon. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer request there and indicate if they're to be shared or are confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please do take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle down the pew if you haven't already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew toward the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know at the end of the service. This morning we remember Mark, Lee, Josephine, and Nina Fentress, who are mourning the death of Mark's mother, Sue Dolman, who died on Monday, June the 20th in Norman, Oklahoma. Services were held there on Thursday, June 22nd. The memorial service for Marty Gilbert, who was a member here and a staff member, will take place here in the sanctuary on Tuesday, June 27th at 3 p.m. with visitation preceding the service in Reed Hall beginning at 2 p.m. Now let us turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, whose love created us, we give you thanks for this world in which we live, for the earth that bears your beauty, for all creatures that reveal your life-giving creativity, and for all people who reflect your divine image, we offer our praise and thanksgiving. God, whose love redeems us, we open our hearts to you this day. We remember the struggles of people throughout the world for food and shelter, health and safety, freedom and education. We remember those who seek peace, community, and belonging. And we remember those who are in need of compassion, understanding, and acceptance. O God, whose love enfolds us, we know that you remember them too. Indeed, all of these are your beloved children, and so we lift them up to you, asking that your healing love might be a balm for this world. May we be the bearers of that love to all people. O God, whose love sustains us, we remember too that you hold our past, our present, and our future. And so we turn to you, entrusting you with all of our fears and failures, all of our hopes and dreams. Grant us your grace that we might seek to live in faith, hope, and love in all things. This morning, especially, O God, we give you thanks for the ministries of Michael and Margaret Williams. We offer our gratitude for the ways in which they have served among us, modeling for us servant leadership, steadfast grace, and a gospel of love. We pray for them in this time of transition, that as they go on to serve in new ways and places, that they might be guided by your Spirit and sustained by your love. We pray also for Carol Kevin Dillon and Brandon Baxter and their families as they prepare to serve among us, that they might experience your peace that passes all understanding. And finally, O God, we pray for our church, that we might trust in your leading, always remembering who we are and whose we are as we reflect the loving light of Christ in this community and throughout the world. O God, whose love will not let us go, we offer you our prayers this day in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to love and the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As those who have received in abundance, may we offer our tithes and offerings back to God with generous and grateful hearts. those who are being baptized please come forward this morning? Brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning, Devin Trey Hargrove and Eric Hollingsworth come before the community of faith for baptism. Devin and Eric, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. If so, say, I do. Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Devin Trey Hargrove, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Amen. Eric Hollingsworth, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eric, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple all your days. Amen. It is now our joy to welcome our new brothers in Christ. You'll stand and face the congregation. Thank you. I'd like to introduce you to Eric and Anna Hollingsworth. Eric is the COO of Letter Logic, and Anna is a content manager for Solve Marketing Agency. Anna is transferring from Gadsden United Methodist Church in Gadsden, Alabama. And Tim and Devin Hargrove. Tim works in IT for HCA, and Devin is 8 years old and in the third grade. Tim is transferring from First Christian Church of Stillwater, Oklahoma. Tim and Eric, this first question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Anna, Tim, and Eric, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, Will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Devin, Tim, Eric, and Anna are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
God's love is so wide that I know the love with which you have embraced me is wide enough to receive Carol and Brandon with that same love. And because I believe you ought to do a few things you're not good at doing and that scare you to death, and so you won't miss me too much, I'm going to sing my benediction to you. This is an old Shaker hymn that I learned a long time ago. The first word I'm going to use is neighbor, because that's what Jesus used. But you can use brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, and just continue singing it as a round. But I wanted to share it with you in our parting. It was sung at the end of the service, I understand. Neighbors, now our meeting is over, and surely we must part. And if I never any more see you, I'll love you with my heart. We will land on that shore. We will land on that shore. We will land on that shore, where we'll sing forevermore. Go in peace. peace.